from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Queen Akim in for Michael Krasny. According to reporting from the New York Times, FBI Director James Comey wrote a memo saying President Trump asked him to stop an investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. That has some Democrats saying the president may have obstructed justice. But it also has Republicans like House Speaker Paul Ryan asking why Comey didn't shed light on this sooner.
And I'm sure we're going to want to hear from Mr. Comey about why, if this happens as he allegedly describes, why didn't take action at the time?
We'll bring you the latest at 9, and then at 9:30, we'll preview the FCC's first vote on whether to eliminate current net neutrality rules. That's all coming up on Forum after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Queen Akim in for Michael Krasny. Today, we're talking about the news that President Trump asked FBI Director James Comey to shut down the federal investigation of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. That's according to the New York Times, which broke the news yesterday, and it's been confirmed by several news outlets. The Times is basing its story on a memo Comey allegedly wrote shortly after a February meeting with the president. In the memo, Comey wrote that President Trump said, quote, "I hope you can let this go," this being the investigation. The White House has issued a statement disputing the story, saying, quote, "The president has never asked Mr. Comey or anyone else to end any investigation, including any investigation involving General Flynn." And then the statement goes on to say that the New York Times story doesn't offer a, quote, "truthful or accurate portrayal of the conversation between the president and Mr. Comey." We are discussing the news with Thomas Mann, a resident scholar with the Institute of Governmental Studies at UC Berkeley. Welcome to Forum, Tom.
Thank you very much, Quina.
And also joining us today from Washington, D.C. is Matt Zapotosky, who covers the Justice Department for The Washington Post. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Hi, Quina. Thanks for having me.
Before we start our conversation, I wanted to invite our listeners to chime in. We're opening up our phone lines to hear your thoughts and answer any questions you might have for our guests. Give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. So, Matt, I wanted to start with you to get an update on what's happening in D.C. right now. Last night, after the news broke, House Oversight Committee Chair Jason Chaffetz asked the FBI for copies of Comey's memos. And we know that Chaffetz has been a strong ally of Trump. Is this a sign that the Republican support for the president is starting to fray? And what's the mood like today there in D.C.?
I definitely think that the Republican support for Trump is starting to waver, both with this revelation and the revelation from just the day before that the president had given some classified information to the Russians in a meeting at the White House. You know, Jason Chaffetz, who had been a big backer of Trump, although he has his post on the House Oversight Committee, you'd want him to be exercising that, to be exercising some oversight on the president. He had so far not really done that. And then yesterday after this revelation, he sent a letter saying, hey, I want to see these memos or this Comey memo, and I'm willing to use my subpoena power to see it if you guys don't turn it over voluntarily. I definitely think that's a shift, and I think we're starting to feel the Republicans shift more broadly to maybe being more aggressive with the administration.
And who else have you been seeing making that shift who you weren't expecting or who'd sort of held the line before?
Well, and let me back up for one second. I do think Paul Ryan today said that he still sort of firmly stands behind the president. So it's not total and complete. Chaffetz is definitely the most noteworthy person. I know John McCain said yesterday, and he, of all the Republicans, has been pretty outspoken in the past, but he said something like, this is now at Watergate level. That's a pretty startling comment from a Republican lawmaker.
Yeah, and he's been pretty forceful before, but that seemed to take it up a little notch there. And I wanted to get to the Comey memos. We've been hearing that these notes by FBI agents have generally held up in court as credible evidence of conversations. And if the reports about these memos are true, Is this the smoking gun that the president has crossed a legal line and has opened himself up to charges of obstruction of justice? And can you just remind folks what that term means and what's your thoughts on that?
I don't know that I would call this a smoking gun, but this is definitely the most direct piece of evidence I think we've come across so far that the president maybe possibly tried to obstruct justice. Obstruction of justice is a federal charge where you basically try to interfere with some judicial proceeding, and that can also be an investigation. Asking the FBI director to shut down an investigation certainly would be along those lines, but this charge sort of requires you to prove that the president had corrupt intent, so that would be like he was acting to save himself or maybe acting to save his friend. I don't know that we're quite there yet, and we also just sort of have Jim Comey's word against the White House's now. They say that Jim Comey's description of this meeting was not quite accurate, but we're definitely getting closer to that.
Tom, I'm curious as to what your thoughts on this are, and I'm wondering if there is something here, where do we go from here? Is it up to the FBI to investigate whether the president indeed crossed a line, or is it Congress that acts? If what happened is true, what's the remedy here?
There's only one remedy, and that's impeachment. I mean, the other is resignation, but the latter usually it happened in the case of Richard Nixon after impeachment was imminent, as was conviction on the charges of impeachment. So it turns out the president as citizen, could be criminally prosecuted, if not pardoned, but he can't be while he's in the office. This is therefore fundamentally a political question, and that's why Matt's focus on the Republican members of Congress and whether we are beginning to see any shifts from the almost unbroken defense of the Republican president is so important. The FBI investigation will proceed. There are big issues about the appointment of a new director, whether the Congress will even confirm a new director, whether the acting director is allowed to stay in charge. And secondly, whether the deputy attorney general will appoint a special counsel that would report directly to him. It's not quite an independent counsel in the sense that it reports to a group of judges. In this case, the report is to the highest ranking eligible leader of the Justice Department,
and
because
be
the Attorney General is out of the picture because he has recused himself, it would be the deputy.
And it's been reported that Comey wrote these memos because he was troubled by the president's request that he drop this investigation, and I'm curious why didn't. In your reporting, have you been able to suss out why Comey didn't come forward earlier with this information?
That is a great question, and the short answer is no. I mean, this only sort of emerges after he is fired, and some Republicans are pointing that out and saying, well, real convenient for this to come out now that the president has removed you from your job. If you truly were concerned that justice was being obstructed, why didn't you reveal this back in February when it happened? That's definitely a fair criticism, but our understanding of this memo is that it was created close in time to when the meeting took place. This wasn't created now to memorialize a meeting back in February, and that's of some significance. But I do wonder, I think like the rest of the world, why now? You know, if this was of such great concern, why did we wait more than a month to reveal it, or more than 2 months, really?
And now we are without an FBI director. Any word on how that search is going? There have been reports that President Trump has been having a problem filling that slot. I'm wondering if
a couple people have a couple people have actually taken their name out of the mix. Senator Cornyn, who I would have put as maybe one of the front runners, although he would not have been a popular pick with Democrats, a Republican senator, he came out and said he did not want the job. Trey Gowdy, similarly, though Trey Gowdy, unlike Senator Cornyn, had not been interviewed for the job. Merrick Garland, who was a name that I think some conservatives had floated, took himself out of the running or had associates, you know, say he's not interested in the job. They did interview on Saturday, it was, eight people with various law enforcement experience. From what I understand, they're still discussing those. And from what I understand, the Justice Department might, when this would be Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, might make a recommendation to Trump or at least give Trump a short list and narrow that down. The president had said late last week that he might even fill this position before he left on his big overseas trip Friday. Seems to me now that feels unlikely, but this White House has been pretty unpredictable, so who knows?
Yeah, he's got a lot of other fires to put out before he tackles that one, I imagine. Thomas Mann, I'm trying to understand why these Comey memos are being considered more damning than President Trump's appearance on NBC with Lester Holt. I mean, in that TV appearance, he basically says that he fired Comey because he didn't think there was any there in the Russia investigation. That, to me, it seems to be more of a firsthand account than even these memos. So why so much attention on these memos?
Because it's new and it's the latest in a series of revelations of chaos, disruption, deflection going on in the White House. I mean, this president's behavior is completely unprecedented in American history. I mean, I think that was a big news item when he said that, especially to his White House staff. But this is another piece, and it suggests that there could well be a really credible record of how this has developed over time, and President Trump's concern about the FBI investigation. I would take a slight exception with Matt on whether it's strange that Comey didn't publicize the comment from the president at that time. What his aides have reported is that the investigation was proceeding itself, and he was in charge of it, and he knew exactly what was going on. If he had a problem with the investigation, if there was intervention in it underneath or apart from him, then he'd have a reason. But for now, his thought was not to in any way seem to bias the investigation that was underway. I think the Republican reaction to that this morning is defensive and reaching. And my guess is once he testifies and once the memos themselves are available, that line of inquiry won't go anywhere. The real problem here is that the Republican Party wants to prop up this president at least long enough to get some major legislative items signed into law. They worry deeply about the political impact in the upcoming midterm elections next year, and they're playing it by ear. They cannot believe the extent to which this president has kind of violated all of the norms and conventions associated with the office of the presidency, but they're fearful of offending his base and fearful of what would happen if impeachment hearings got underway.
And can you flesh out that calculation that the Republicans are making? I guess there's a 38% of there's a 38% of voters who are that hardcore base, and yet we see this president has historical lows with sort of everybody else. I mean, is a calculation that they need to keep that base to win that election, and when does that start to tip in the other direction?
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. they are fearful of the base because they prop up many members who are in relatively safe seats. So that is one of the things going on. They worry that if Trump is severely damaged to the point of possibly losing his office, that his supporters will be discouraged and just stay home, and that that could have as great an effect as the conversion and mobilization of those Democrats and independents who are greatly concerned about him. So it's a difficult choice to make for them in purely political terms, but the moment arises eventually, as it did during Watergate, and this is much more serious because of the connection to Russia and their intervention in our election, their interference in our elections. There comes a point when some individual Republicans will be expected to come forward, like Howard Baker and others did during Watergate, to launch and participate in a really fair investigation of what has transpired. If they fail to do this, this is one more nail in their coffin. The Republicans gave us Donald Trump, and they own him. And if he sinks, they're going to sink with him.
Matt Zapotosky from The Washington Post. I was curious. I wanted to go back to this obstruction of justice issue and the state of mind. And according to the New York Times report, Comey was in a meeting with the president along with Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Vice President Mike Pence. And according to the New York Times, the president asked them to leave before he made this ask of Comey. It's an interesting detail, and I'm wondering what the scuttle there is in Washington. Is anybody noting that he asked, you know, there's been this narrative that the president doesn't really know government and he doesn't really understand the laws, but he asked the two people in the room who do really understand government and understand these laws to leave. Is that a detail that's causing any curiosity or interest amongst the reporting pool there?
Yeah, that matters. I mean, one of the things I spoke about earlier was the corrupt intent, you know, and in a worst case scenario, this is like a sinister press to shut down an investigation that could touch the president himself. That's a worst case scenario. I'm not saying we're there. But if he's in a meeting with a group of people and he thinks this is a fairly innocuous ask, he's just going to talk about Mike Flynn, who he thinks is a good guy. Why does he ask Jeff Sessions to step out of the room? Why does he need this to be one-on-one with Jim Comey? And then when you look at the broader context of this, you mentioned the Lester Holt interview. He kind of suggested that – he didn't suggest it. He said that when he fired Jim Comey, he was thinking about the Russia investigation. In his letter to Jim Comey that fired him, he mentioned Jim Comey had told him three times he wasn't under investigation. All of those are circumstances that would support this idea of corrupt intent, and that's why it matters.
And I wanted to break in here a little bit. We've got some news here. The Senate Select Committee on Intelligence has asked Comey to testify in both open and closed hearings. And they asked McCabe for Comey's memos. McCabe is with the Justice Department himself. I guess I know you're on the phone here, but has that news crossed your ticker yet, Matt?
I did not. You're breaking that news to me, actually. It doesn't surprise me, the first part of it anyway. I know that they've been wanting Jim Comey to come and testify in public for days now, and I would expect that he'll do that.
So let's go to some comments here. We have a listener who writes that most big companies do a listener that writes, James Comey and Sally Yates will be the Times Man or Women of the Year. If Nobels were awarded for courage, it would be a done deal. I'm thinking you can almost say that for also the sort of, it seems like the intelligence community who seems to be sort of rising up and I'm assuming is responsible for many of these leaks, although I know you can't disclose any sources, but it seems the most likely place. What is the mood of the intelligence community, and are they in support of this president, or are these leaks sort of a signal that that they're not that pleased. And I wonder, Matt, if you could answer that question.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the sources, but I think if you go back even before this revelation about Comey and the memo to the reporting from just 2 days ago, it feels like a long time ago, but the reporting that Donald Trump in a meeting with Russia revealed some very sensitive classified information that, you know, would maybe jeopardize an intelligence stream. The intelligence community is not happy about that, not happy about that at all, even if it's a sort of inadvertent slip up. I mean, the intelligence community would prefer a president who is very careful about that sort of thing and that who consults with them if he's going to reveal details. Of course, the president in that instance has the legal right to do that. The information is his to reveal if he wants to. But I'm sure the intelligence community would prefer that he at least consult with them and think about the repercussions of doing that.
Yeah, I was interested. I don't know if you heard NPR this morning, but they had a friend of NSA director, National Security Advisor McMasters on the phone. And I was expecting him to sort of deny these reports, but he actually seemed to bolster this idea that President Trump did spill some secrets to the Russians and that McMasters is sort of walking a fine line here. And can you sort of explain to folks what his reputation is and how that's faring right now that he's become sort of the front person for defending Trump?
He has a reputation for being independent here in Washington, and I think that some people are surprised. His denial I don't even know that I would call it a denial. When we first broke this news a couple days ago, he came out and said some things that were sort of a denial of something that we hadn't even reported. So I do think he's trying to walk a fine line of maintaining honesty, but a lot of people are surprised.
Thomas Mann.
Go for it. I just think it's really important to understand that the intelligence community, the Justice Department, the professional bureaucrats and staff members are one of the strongest protections in our democratic system against violations of the rule of law, and we'll have many qualifying for awards if this ends in a way that prevents really an erosion of democracy and a movement to what President Trump seems to prefer stylistically is an autocracy. One senses.
I'm sorry to cut you off here. I can't believe this half an hour has already flown, but that's it for this part of our conversation. Thomas Mann, resident scholar with the Institute of Governmental Studies at UC Berkeley, and Matt Zapotosky with The Washington Post. I want to thank you both for coming onto the show.
Happy to be with you.
And you are listening to Forum. Stay with us. We are going to talk about net neutrality in the second half of the show.